The rules are not optional, the decency is not negotiable, and the ship will remind you of both if necessary. Every ship has a set of rules. Some are written down in a welcome manual you receive on your first day on board. Others are unspoken but equally real, understood by every experienced crew member and communicated quickly to new joiners who miss them. What all of them have in common is that they are not a matter of personal preference. You do not get to decide which ones apply to you based on whether you feel like following them. This is worth stating plainly before anything else, because the people who end up in trouble on a ship are almost never the ones who read the rules and disagreed with them. They are the ones who assumed the rules did not apply to them and discovered, usually within the first few weeks, that they were wrong. Ship rules versus company rules. One of the first things to understand is that the rules governing daily life on board are not purely set by the company. They are ship-based, which means the guidelines on any given vessel can differ from what you experienced on a previous contract, even with the same cruise line. Assumptions carried from one ship to another are a common source of early friction for returning crew. Your welcome manual is the starting point. It covers the basics of what is and is not permitted on your ship, which passenger areas are accessible to crew, what the dress code expectations are in guest-facing spaces, how quiet hours work, and the general conduct expected of all staff. Read it before you assume anything. Your manager will fill in the gaps. Anything the manual does not cover, or anything that has changed since the last printing, will typically come from your department head during the first few days. Pay attention to these conversations. They are often where the most relevant information lands. Passenger areas, space, and access. Cruise ships are carefully balanced environments. Passengers pay large amounts of money to be there, and the experience they are buying includes a certain amount of space, privacy, and exclusivity relative to the working crew. The rules governing which passenger areas crew can access, gyms, buffets, cafes, pools, lounges, are not about punishing staff. They are about protecting the experience that guests are there to have. Some ships allow crew access to certain passenger facilities during off-peak hours or with permissions. Others restrict access more tightly. The relevant details for your ship will be in the welcome manual or communicated by your manager. Do not treat this as bureaucratic overhead. The crew member who wanders into a restricted passenger area in casual clothes at the wrong moment creates a situation that reflects on their department and their manager, not just on themselves. The dress code in guest-facing areas deserves mention because it tends to be the point where common sense and written rules diverge in ways that create problems. Entering food service areas in flip-flops, appearing in shared spaces in clothing that does not meet the standard, presenting yourself in guest corridors in a state that would not be appropriate at work, these things exist as written rules because experience has shown that without them, some people make choices that should not need to be governed by policy. Follow the dress code. It is not complicated. Living with a roommate. For most crew, the cabin is a shared space. Casino management typically receives single cabins. Dealers share with one other person. Over the course of a contract that runs for months, the quality of that arrangement has a real effect on the quality of the contract overall. The basics are not difficult. Respect quiet hours. On a ship, quiet hours matter more than they do in a shared apartment on land, because the schedules of crew members working different shifts can put someone trying to sleep at 3 a.m. directly adjacent to someone arriving back from a night out. Slamming doors, loud phone calls, lights left on, noise generated without any consideration for whether the other person in the room is sleeping. All of these are problems that accumulate quickly in a small space. Common decency in a shared cabin is not asking a great deal. It is the same consideration that most adults would extend to a stranger they happen to be sharing temporary accommodation with. The fact that it sometimes needs to be stated is a function of the unusual pressure of the environment, not any expectation that crew members do not already know how to behave. Living with over 100 nations. A cruise ship crew is one of the most multicultural workplaces that exists anywhere on Earth. It is normal to be sharing a corridor, or a cabin, with people from countries on opposite sides of the planet, carrying habits, communication styles, social customs, and expectations that differ in ways large and small from your own. The habits that feel natural to you may seem unusual or inconsiderate to someone from a different background. The reverse is equally true. A person who is noisy by the standards of one culture may be normal by the standards of another. a social custom that feels inclusive to you may feel intrusive to someone else. None of this is bad faith. It is the ordinary friction of different people navigating shared space. What resolves it, in almost every case, is the same thing: the willingness to notice that a problem exists, to have a direct but civil conversation about it, and to find a middle ground that both people can live with. A ship is not the right environment for passive endurance of a situation that is affecting your sleep and your ability to function. It is also not the right environment for escalating minor differences into conflict. The space between those two responses is where most cabin situations resolve themselves, and it is wide enough to accommodate a lot of variation. If a conversation with a roommate does not produce results, the next step is a conversation with your manager. This is the ship's procedure, and it exists for good reason. Managers have the tools and the authority to address situations that cannot be resolved directly. Use the procedure rather than sitting with a problem that is affecting your well-being through an entire contract. What happens when the rules are ignored? Two contrasting experiences from the same period of a career illustrate this more clearly than any general principle. The first, a roommate who arrived with a complete disregard for the shared nature of the space, late returns to the cabin followed by hour-long phone calls. Doors slammed regardless of the hour. No apparent awareness that another person was present, sleeping, or affected. Conversations with him produced nothing. The manager was eventually involved. He was sent home within his first few weeks on board. The second, a roommate from a different continent and a different cultural background who was noticeably noisy. A comment made in passing to mutual friends, not a complaint, just an observation, made its way back to him. His behavior changed. What followed was one of the more positive cabin arrangements in memory. Two people from opposite ends of the world, navigating a small shared space with mutual consideration and, eventually, mutual respect. Both situations involved people behaving according to their own defaults. The difference was in the willingness to adjust when the context required it. One person adjusted and the contract improved for both parties. The other did not, and the ship made the adjustment for him. The rules on a cruise ship are not obstacles. They are the structure that makes it possible for hundreds of people from across the world to live and work together in a contained space for months at a time without it descending into chaos. The more clearly you understand that, and the more honestly you apply both the written rules and the unwritten ones, the smoother your contract will be, and the more likely you are to be invited back for the next one. The ship will run exactly as long as everyone on it treats it as a shared space. That includes you.